In Luke chapter 4, we have an introduction to Jesus' ministry. He was setting the course of what his purpose was and why he came to earth. We know the story of how he went into the temple and made really some outrageous claims. In Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, it says, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" The year of the Lord's favor, the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is clearly alluding to the year of Jubilee, when both debtors and servants were to be set free. Jesus was actually reading from the prophet Isaiah, a prophecy that was given nearly 700 years before that. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, is what he was actually quoting from. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." It's interesting to note here that the Lord is talking about the year of Jubilee, but he's also talking about the vengeance of God happening at the same time. It appears that they coincide, and as one grows in magnitude, the other grows in magnitude at the same time. God's year of release is an exciting time that we're looking forward to, yet at the same time, it would appear that great judgment and even calamity would be coming on the earth. Now, I think there's no question that we're looking for the year of the Lord's favor to come. We're looking for that Jubilee. And in a certain sense, I don't know if it just happens overnight or if we're moving into it over time. A time of setting free, a time of release. I also think that there's no question that there is a time of God's vengeance coming as well. And maybe that's more visible to us, even. It would seem like the two events happen concurrently to balance God's purposes. Now, obviously, we want to be sure we're on the right side of that equation. But I do believe there's this reality of a Jubilee that the Lord wants us to experience and his vengeance happening at the same time. Jubilee was a concept that was not foreign to Israel, but the amazing thing is it's never recorded as having been completely celebrated or fulfilled. It's not recorded in Scripture, and if you look historically, the Jews never point back to a day where they say it was completely fulfilled by the entire nation. Now, there's been a lot of conjecture by a lot of rabbis on what date the first Jubilee should have taken place, and they estimate it was approximately 14 years after entering into the Promised Land. But they all agree it was never truly celebrated by the nation. Something that the Lord had designed the nation to celebrate, to really bring a balance to things, was ignored. It was designed to free the captives. Now, the captives came from two different directions. There were those captives that had lost everything, and they were going to have property returned to them. Their debts were going to be released. They were going to be set free because they were held captive of their situation. But there's the other side of the captives as well. there were those who had gained the wealth over time. And the Lord wanted to free them as well. He wanted to free them because they were supposed to return the wealth, the original property, to its original holders, so that they wouldn't be held captive by the prosperity that the Lord had allowed for them. It was the freeing of captives, but from two very different perspectives. There's two sides in this time of Jubilee. There are those who owed and those who owned. And the Lord wanted to free both of them so that Israel would be able to focus on what their true wealth and inheritance was. And it wasn't those natural things. It was the Lord. It was the setting free of the entire nation, that the entire nation would see their inheritance wasn't what they held on to, but it was the Lord. God wanted the people not to trust in their wealth, but to realize that God was the beginning and the end. That original concept of Jubilee was never celebrated. Now let's look at that in Leviticus chapter 25. We're going to look at verse 1 and then verse 8 through 17. Now the entire chapter, in one sense, is about Jubilee. And Jubilee comes in a couple different formats. In one way, you could say part of this Jubilee process happened every 3 years when they were supposed to make a tithe. Part of the Jubilee process happened every 7 years when they were supposed to celebrate a Sabbath rest. And part of the Jubilee happened every 50 years when there was a complete setting free in a variety of directions. But in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord." The land shall keep a Sabbath. Then in verse 8, "You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so the time of the 7 weeks of years give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound the trumpet through all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee to you when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan. The 50th year shall be a year of jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. In this year, the jubilee, in this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. And if you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. You shall pay your neighbor according to the number of years after the Jubilee, and he shall sell you according to the number of years for crops. If the years are many, you shall increase the price. If the years are few, you shall reduce the price. For it is the number of crops that he is selling to you. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God." Now, some of the church today is taking scriptures like this and other scriptures and trying to fulfill them in natural ways. Now, we're not going to blow a shofar today, and I'm not going to wear a yarmulke because I don't think that's what this is talking about. We can look at those traditions and try to fulfill things in an outward way, but that's not what the Lord has for us. What is he really calling us to? I'd like us to consider this concept of Jubilee that is mentioned here in Leviticus 25 and realize that there's a contextualization that we need to go through to understand what that means for us as a church today. He wants us to actually live in Jubilee. When Jesus came and he made those proclamations in Luke chapter 4, he was saying, the day is come. It's come, and it's come to stay, that we would celebrate and be in that place of Jubilee. When we look at this concept of Jubilee, there's four key things that happened, and I'd like to look at those four things this morning. The first one, it was a year of rest. In verse 11, now the 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. The Lord wants us to enter into his rest. Now, I realize this topic was covered a couple days ago. We didn't coordinate together, and my notes were basically done at that point. But the Lord wants us to enter into his rest. This is not the I do nothing type of rest. This is not the, oh, it's finally Saturday morning, no alarm type of rest. It's also not the Florida vacation type of rest. It's a rest from the struggle that we have in trying to do things our own way. We spend so much time trying to figure out how we should do things, how we should handle things. But coming into rest carries that concept of realizing the Lord is in control and we're going to rest in his ability, because my struggle doesn't get me any further ahead. God wants us to have that rest in him, and this affects every area of our life, how we work, how we live with our family, how we live with our neighbors. I have a house across the street from me that has been vacant for a number of years, and it was vacant because the city helped the inhabitants move out because they had 45 dogs inside of the house. And it's gone into disrepair, and it's nasty looking. And another neighbor down the street came over to my front yard just a couple months ago, and he's staring, looking at it, and he says, I'm so irritated with that place. When is the township going to do something? And I looked across the street, and I realized I had entered into rest. Because I didn't care about the house across the street at all. It's like, yeah, it is bad, isn't it? Yeah, they haven't cut their grass in a long time. And it's right across the street from my house. But I had entered into rest. And you know what? I wasn't losing any sleep. I wasn't stressed out about it at all. It didn't bother me a bit. And yet this neighbor who's three houses down, two houses down, is just concerned that it's destroying the value of our community. But that's an illustration. God wants us to enter into his rest. Into his rest. Only taking on the burden that he has for us. A deep sense of peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And I think this verse is still applicable to today. There remains one for us. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. There remains a rest. There's still something for us to enter into. The Lord wants to bring us into a new state of rest and peace. For centuries, the church battled with the concept of salvation by good works. And yet, when we look around us today, that is still a dominant theme. If you look at church growth plans or building projects for many churches that take churches into deep debt, they're not works based on what the Lord is saying, I think, many times. In their struggle, in their stress, that comes about because there's not an entering in to rest, the Sabbath that the Lord has for us. So the entering in of rest or a Sabbath. Second, there was the releasing of debts. In Deuteronomy 15, 1 and 2, says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, his brother, because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. It's interesting in Scripture how finances and how we handle them play such an important part of our spiritual life. How we handle finances actually determines eternal rewards. We see this in a number of parables. 60% of the parables that Jesus taught had to do with dealing with finances. And yet we think, well, that's not important. The Lord doesn't care about those things. But I think he does care about those things. I think he does. He wants us to experience freedom in this area as never before. I think he wants us to have a year of release or a life of release in this area. We're called to be those that lend and not those that borrow. In Deuteronomy 28, 12 and 13, the Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. We heard that verse just a bit ago. And you shall not only go up and not down if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today. Be careful to do them. The Lord has intended us to be a financial supply for many. To be a financial supply for many others. In Luke chapter 6 and 34, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Even banks lend because they expect their amounts back. But the Lord says, lend, be a financial supply for others. Our focus needs to be on giving offerings and not getting offerings. And yet the church has, I was at an event, this was a number of years ago, and it was talking about how to raise funds for a building program. And it was partly put on by this fundraising group that would help you do it for a percentage of the take. And they had all kinds of wonderful ideas. That's not rest. That's the tail, a very long tail as well. The Lord wants us to be the head in this area. He wants us to prosper, but he only will prosper us if we're faithful with what we're doing, what he's given us right now. He wants to release us in this area. Third, there was the releasing of slaves. Leviticus 25:54. And if he is not redeemed by these means, then he and his children with him shall be released in the year of Jubilee. The Lord wants to bring us to a point where we're released from the attitude of a slave. Now, the attitude of a slave is one that they just do what is necessary, and they're bound. They can't look beyond where they're currently at. But the Lord has something so much more for us. He wants us to experience so much more. It was interesting. When I returned to the States, after living overseas for a number of years, I had a number of expectations of what it was going to be like. I had a number of expectations of what Starrville was going to be like. And my expectations weren't based on reality at all, because things had changed. And I came back to find that slavery and bondage was a huge issue. Now, it comes in a variety of different forms. Because of debt, people are slaves to their employers in one way, because they don't feel any freedom anymore. We have a number of people in our church over the years who gladly work through the weekends and miss church on Sunday Because they're slave to this almighty dollar, which is not almighty, we know. They're slave to it. They're bound to it. There's also bondage that has crept into the church in many other ways. It's amazing to me to see how, to point to something directly, but a prescription drug culture has entered the church. And there are so many that are bound by drugs. And it's okay because someone has told them it's okay and collected their insurance as a result. And yet there's bondage there that many have given themselves to that I believe the Lord wants us to be set free from. To be set free. Anything that controls us outside of God's will is a bondage that the Lord wants to set us free from. We need to experience freedom in new ways. And this is for us as a fellowship, and it's for the church at large, because there's things that have bound us. We've allowed them to come in. But the Lord wants to set us free. The releasing of slaves. So first, the year of rest. Second, the releasing of debt. Third, the releasing of slaves. Number four, the return of property to its original owners. In Leviticus 5:28, but if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain at the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee it will be released, and he shall return to his property. Now this one specific thing has actually never been recorded as being completed or fulfilled. It was never implemented, by what I can tell, in the way that it was supposed to. What does it mean for us today? I believe in one way it means a return to vision, or a return to the original callings that the Lord has given us. There's a tendency over time to begin to veer off into other directions. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I drove to Kentucky, and we went and saw the solar eclipse, and we sat in a Walmart parking lot with about, 15,000 of our closest friends and watched the solar eclipse. When we then went to leave the solar eclipse, there were more people in Kentucky than I thought there were. And we were in bumper-to-bumper traffic for 6 hours in Kentucky. Now, if it was Michigan, at least it would be like a little piece of heaven, but this was Kentucky. If you're from Kentucky, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you, actually. But we were in line listening to the female Google voice give us directions. And after a while, we just shut her off. And we started to turn and find our own way. Because her directions were just frustrating. After a period of time, after about 3 hours, she kept telling us to make a U-turn. And we just couldn't handle it. We shut her off and began to try and find our own way. I'm not sure we were any successful, but there's that concept of directions have been given to us, but after a while you just try and figure it out yourself. And sometimes you end up in a wrong place. That happens to us spiritually as well. And there's a return to the Lord's vision that I think he has for us, that he wants us to return to things that he has spoken to us years ago, to inheritances that he has promised that we haven't seen fulfilled yet. We're preparing for our church's 75th anniversary, which we're going to be celebrating next weekend. Now, you're all welcome to attend that, and if not, you're welcome to go to Kentucky, I guess. But you're welcome to come. But we're looking forward to that and anxious for what is going to happen. As part of that, some videos and special presentations have been prepared. And last week, I got to watch the video of our dedication from 32 years ago. And Pastor Billy was there giving a prayer of dedication for the church. And I was shocked to hear it. Because I realized we needed to return to some of those things. There was a return that needed to take place. We needed to refocus the GPS and hone in onto what God has said. Do you know why? Because some of those things just aren't fulfilled yet. They're just not there. They haven't happened. Now, after 32 years, maybe we should just get a different plan. I don't think so. Because God's promises have to be fulfilled, don't they? Now, are his promises dependent on us? Well, yes and no. They're dependent many times on responses of obedience for us. And in his prayer, he talked about Starville Church being full. That nearly happened about 25 years ago. But it hasn't happened recently. It's been full of emptiness lately. Because a lot of people have left and a lot of people have been buried. Time has gone on. New people haven't come in to replace the ones that were buried or the ones that left. We were happy about some of them leaving because they were buried and they went on to their inheritance. Actually, we were happy about some of the other ones that left as well. But the fact is, we haven't seen that promise fulfilled. And I was stirred with the thought, he said, the Lord wants to do this, but you as a church need to pray that this will happen. And quite frankly, I haven't done that lately. I've just been like, well, Lord, whatever happens, happens. They come in, they go out. They come in, they stay, they die. But he has a promise for us. And we've got to return to that promise. Return to that vision. Returning to the original land that the Lord had given us. Because there are promises in that place that only we can inherit. Now, it's not known if Israel ever celebrated this to its fullest. Sabbath years, they would do it on and off for periods of time. It's never recorded that they actually celebrated Jubilee the way that it was intended and that everyone returned to their home properties. And there was a release by those who were in debt and those who owned the debt and were being held captive in a different way. What is left for us to fulfill? What is left for us to fulfill? Now, when I look at these four things, Ben said he felt like he's preaching to grandfathers. I'm older than Ben. I feel like you're my dad and uncles. Okay? But I'm feeling older all the time. I just took a trip, and I got back from the trip, and I felt really old that Monday morning. I got back Saturday night. I had been in airports or planes for about 30 hours straight. I got home Sunday morning. I spoke Sunday morning. I had set Sunday night church, and I got up Monday morning, and I felt 95 or 100 years old. There's an inheritance for us to enter into. There's also a phone to be answered. There's an inheritance for us to be into. There's something less left for us to fulfill. Now, stage one of this, entering into rest, I'm all for that. I want that right now because I'm worn out. Are you worn out? But the rest is not, and I'm sorry for those of you that are here from Florida, I'm not picking on you directly, but indirectly. It's not that sort of Florida retirement. but it's releasing, being released from Rob's way of doing things, of me trying to figure it out, of you trying to figure it out and saying, well, Lord, I could do this and this, and then everything would be okay. Why don't you stamp my plan? We're to enter into that rest. Second, this area of the releasing of debt. I believe the Lord wants us to be those that lend out, those that give out, that we're a supply for the nations. I don't think we should concentrate on taking offerings. I think we should concentrate on giving offerings. That's got to be the focus, because the Lord wants to bless us in that way. He also wants to release us from that which binds us, from slavery that has held us, that has bound us, from an attitude of being a slave of, well, I'm just going to do what I have to. I had somebody in my church come to me not too long ago and say, Pastor, what is the bare minimum I have to do to get to heaven? And I said, I don't know. Because I think you've got to focus on the absolute maximum. All that the Lord has for us. All his inheritance. Not having the attitude of a slave like that. Finally, the returning of property to its original owners. Now, I experienced this in some ways when I left China and came back to Michigan. I had to pick up a vision that was there that the Lord has strangely given my family for the last 75 years. But he has that for every one of us. The picking up of what he's given us in the past, the return to that, the return to the inheritance that he's promised for each and every one of us. He has a jubilee, a Sabbath, for us to enter into. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. That is our calling. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the center of where God has put us, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of God. We need to focus on those original callings that the Lord has for us. We need to follow up with obedience and prayer, seeing God's provision grow, seeing ourselves be set free from what binds us, that we can possess the inheritance that he has given us long ago and experience his jubilee in a new way. The Lord bless you.